Hello and welcome to Can You Get to That? I am host number.
We don't really order things hierarchically here.
I am host number 69, Madelson.
I'm host number 420, Caitlin Best.
We just pick our own favorite numbers as our host numbers.
Yeah.
That's the joke that we led the show with.
That's the joke.
We are on fire already. The 5-star ratings on iTunes are pouring in after that one joke.
Hey. You mean the 420 star ratings?
Okay, that's the same joke again.
It's still good though.
Kinda, yeah. I agree. What's up? What's new? You said you wanted to talk about things at the top of the show.
Yeah, I've had a wet and wild week. Already. It's only Tuesday and I've already had a wet and wild week.
I know you went to the beach.
I did do that.
Is that what you mean by wet and wild?
No, actually.
So you
that's
don't
what
mean...
I mean that's the wet part.
Oh, that's just the wet part. What's the wild part?
Well, I went to the beach and then I went to Savi Island, so double wet. But the wild part, first of all, I got that gig reviewing whiskey.
Yeah.
So I got a free fifth of wild turkey rye and then three cute little sample bottles.
Of?
I hadn't heard of any of them, but they're pretty nice.
That's nice. That was a quick turnaround. Like, you got that not too long ago, and already you have some whiskeys.
Yeah, no, the guy's a real professional.
So, what is going to stop you from basically using the exact same words to describe every whiskey you taste?
I just gotta be careful, right? Because I feel like for example, the Wild Turkey Rye, I do have to do, like a real review, because... like, people probably, like, know what that tastes like, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, not that... I'm going to do real reviews.
Mm-hmm.
For the record.
For the record, they're real just reviews.
For the more... your more middle-shelf whiskeys that I get, I feel like I'm going to have to be a little bit more careful and precise.
So, my question is, what... and I'm not trying to say out you as a... less than connoisseur, but tell me about how you developed. What are you pointing at exactly?
Nothing.
You were just like,
no, I was just
flexing your fingers.
Just flexing my index finger.
I thought that was some kind of hand signal to be like, shut up about my whiskey inexperience, man.
No, you're good. Go.
Tell me how you developed, you know, your tasting method and how you personally are able to distinguish these very tastes in bourbons and ryes, you know, the leathery notes and
so
forth.
Okay, so this is exactly what I did.
Uh-huh.
So the task was I had to write an imaginary review, right, of a real whiskey that I had not tasted.
Mm-hmm.
And just had to make it sound convincing. So I read, like, what the whiskey was. It was a bourbon rye mix. Okay. So, like, bourbons are sweet, ryes are, like, spicy and peppery.
So it's like you took a good thing and then you put some shitty rye in it.
Well, lots of people do like rye.
Well, they're wrong.
All right, that's your opinion.
It's my 2 cents. That's my whiskey review.
Yeah, so,
all ryes, not as good as
you should sign up for a job at this site.
You know, that job only pays you in booze, and I'm pretty covered.
You're covered?
I don't think what I need right now in my marginally employed state is a
whiskey?
Job that's just going to ply me with booze. It's not really going to help me get the other things I need in my life.
It might... I don't know, help you make friends? Not that you don't have friends. You have plenty
I just put a Craigslist posting up. Hey, I got some free whiskey.
Come on over.
Come hang.
But let me finish. I read what the whiskey was, and then I read a bunch of other whiskey reviews, and then I drank some whiskey that was in the house already.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I taste a little bit of this and that. And so it was a combination of, like, things pulled from other whiskey reviews and then what I tasted in this different whiskey.
You really took this imaginary review thing
to the next level. I'm like a method reviewer, you know? I have to really get into the mind.
You're not just going to pretend to drink whiskey. You're actually
going to drink whiskey
in order to pretend to drink whiskey.
Drinking whiskey, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, I got that. So that's exciting.
So that's the wild because it's a bottle of wild turkey.
I haven't gotten to the wildest thing yet.
But did you make that connection, or did I just like?
You made
did
that
I just
connection.
Trounce you?
You made that connection. Good
Ooh,
job.
Yes.
You're
See,
smart.
You should have come with
you're,
that one.
You're a punny boy, Matt.
You should have come with that one at the hip, ready to go, and I just whoop-pow!
Yeah, you. You.
What was
that
the wildest part?
So the wildest part was, I think I told you about this other thing that I applied for on Craigslist, which was a money job. Which basically...
With the strange man?
Basic... No, not the strange man.
Oh, okay.
Basically, if you read the job posting, you know, there's a lot of euphemisms, a lot of hedging in this job posting, but basically what it boiled down to is we're going to pay you to write pieces of other people's dissertations.
Yes, okay, this one.
And so I applied for that, and I wrote this very forceful cover letter where I was like, I went to this school, I wrote a thesis, I was a research assistant, I can definitely... write a lit review for someone else's PhD project.
okay.
Which I totally could. And so they sent me this sample task, and so the name of the company was not in the job posting at all.
Uh-huh.
Maybe should have been a tip off that it was a little funny. But I just did it anyway. And so I got this email with the sample task, which was basically like, here's a bibliography of some sources, find a few more, and like write it up in 8 pages. And
8 pages.
It's a sample project.
Yeah. I'm going to go out on a limb and say, if a job's not going to pay me like upwards of... This is you tell me if this is fucked up.
Okay.
If the job's like salary isn't upwards of $50,000 in the job application process, I'm not gonna do an 8-page paper, even a bibliography.
No. I'm totally with you because they offered me $200 just to do this sample task, and in my head I was like, how many hours is this gonna take me?
That's different.
Like if I'm not clearing.
Yeah.
At least $15 an hour. I don't really want to do this.
Okay. Yeah, fair.
But anyway, so I started doing this, and then I kind of... I don't know what caused me to do this. Maybe I was just feeling like this was a gross thing to be doing, and so I Googled this company name, which I'm not going to say. Like, do you want me to say it? You'll never have heard of it. But basically what I found out is that it's run by con artists, and it's the, third rebranding of this company, which used to... run a scam where they would offer to do this kind of work for people and they would pay the company like $2,000 up front and then they would never receive the work or it would be really late and like real shitty.
That's not even that great of a con. The con
No, and so
is...
that's why this company didn't last long because that's totally unsustainable, right?
A successful con will string people along, not just be like, hey, I paid you money and you didn't give me a product.
I think they did sometimes. I think they did deliver things, but there are reports of people not having the services delivered. And then it turns out that the guy who runs this company was investigated by the SEC for some kind of scheme, like before all this.
So how far into your bibliography project are you?
Oh, I've read like 2 abstracts and like skimmed a paper.
Are you actually going to complete it?
No.
It's a chance you could get $200.
There's a chance, but I also read about people who in the previous iterations of this company had applied and done this sample task, and then they were like, well, I think we need another sample, so could you just do this one for us and then we'll decide. And then the company ended up using both of those quote-unquote sample tasks.
See, this is why...
the actual service.
This is making me feel good, because I, in my week, I have found some, at least, I don't know, temporary employment.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna... You're talking to...
You haven't been conned by anyone.
You're listening to Matt Olson, as of tomorrow... a freelancer.
Ayo.
Hey. Which means that I'm going to have to do some legwork in terms of actually like keeping track of what I earn for tax purposes.
Yeah.
That sounds like the opposite of fun. But otherwise, it's cool. I shouldn't say exactly what I'm gonna research.
It's a secret. It's a surprise.
One of the things may be a thing that you use to put air into bike tires.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you'll be able to crack...
Such a device.
I don't know if you'll be able to crack that riddle. But there you have it. What was confusing to me was that eventually they had to, you know... They offered the position to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah. And they had to get back to me with the necessary forms that I need to sign, the contract, you know, that I need to sign to be a freelancer with them.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent it via this online service. But all the contracts refer to the... It's not a shell company.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the name of the company that operates the publications I'm working for, which is not the same as those...
Publication.
So I got this email from a like web service I'd never heard of saying this like, company that you've never heard of wants you to do this thing, and I was like taken aback for a moment because there's actually about zero way, unless you're in the know, to know from just the name of the controlling company what it's from.
Yeah.
And then I promptly got the email back being like, oh, okay. From, like, the actual contact I had being like, here's the thing that you're supposed to sign. I'm like,
yeah.
All right, I trust this now. But I was...
So it was like getting conned, but not, and only for a second.
It's cool. Yeah, it's cool. I get some of the thrill of being conned, but none of the actual, the like, losses.
So here's my question. I'm going to ask you for some advice real quick before we get started.
Okay.
Do I email these people? And be like, politely, like, I don't want to do this anymore, or do I just say nothing?
Here's what you do. You send them 8 pages of Lorem Ipsum and say, give me $200, please. And when they're like, this isn't real work, you're like, so I see I've encountered yet... I see you've seen through my con, as I would expect a con artist to.
All right, that's what I'll do.
Yeah. No, do that and report back next week.
Yeah, scam the scammers.
Or alternatively, you could Hadouken them.
Hadouken them?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What a topical reference I made.
What a great segue.
No, it was a terrible segue.
our topic today, I guess I'll just go ahead and introduce it.
Yeah.
It's the video game franchise Street Fighter.
I want you to give as complete of a summary... The Street Fighter as I can. You can.
Okay.
To start us off.
So there's some fighters, and they're out in the street, and they just beat the shit out of each other.
I hope.
And they can do all kinds of magic attacks, like Hadoukens and Shoryukens.
I hope sincerely.
And there's a
for your sake that this is like a joke summary you're giving right now, because I'm gonna transcribe all this and send this into Polygon.com and Kotaku and all the other websites. Well, I'm gonna send it in as your like application.
Uh-huh.
So it's in your best interest for it to not fall back on you when I identity thief you and put these into these websites. It's in your best interest to do a good job summarizing.
Well, I think I'm doing a great job. So
right on about the fighting in the streets and the magic.
There's a rich cast of characters. There's just a rich cast of characters.
Okay, name me some of the Street Fighter characters.
Sagat.
Okay.
Cammy.
Uh-huh.
Who wears a swimsuit, a camo swimsuit. She was in the army.
Uh-huh.
There's Dan,
uh-huh,
who's just a fucking scrub, doesn't know how to do the magic good at
Sounds
all.
Right.
There's Ken,
uh-huh,
who's a muscle boy. There's Ryu, who's a muscle boy.
Okay. Is this it? Are these all the characters you
know? I don't know, I can keep going. M. Bison.
Okay.
I know about this little character rotation where M. Bison and...
There's actually three characters.
There's three characters.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the other two. And I can't think of the other two.
I'll give you a hint. This past weekend at Evo 2015, mm-hmm, which is why we're doing Street Fighter the week after the fighting game tournament happened. I'll give you a hint. One of these characters involved in this three-way name swap was cosplayed by Jamie Lee Curtis, of all people, at Evo.
Oh, yeah. I totally saw that picture. And I don't remember who it was.
We can move past this.
Yeah. Anyway, there's Dalsim, the yoga guy.
Uh-huh.
There's the racist... there's a bunch of racist caricatures. There's the racist Turkish caricature. There's the racist Native American caricature.
Uh-huh. Well, his name is... you know what his name is, right?
It's right on the tip of my tongue.
It's T-Hawk.
Right, T-Hawk. Short for Tomahawk.
Well, or as I like to call him, Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk. Right.
Because it's just not right otherwise that Tony Hawk would only belong to one video game franchise.
Yeah, he's got fingers in a lot of different franchises.
He's so talented that he should really be anywhere. So I prefer to think of T-Hawk as Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, it's my own... So I own a fan creation.
Yeah.
My own headcanon, as it were.
Yeah.
I don't need to tell you what I know about Street Fighter, because all I need to tell you to let you know that I'm a for real gamer is that I own a fight stick. And it's sitting right over there.
Do you want me to tell the listeners who beat you at Street Fighter at Swift the other night?
The computer?
The computer.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah. So.
Fair.
Just saying. You know, something I thought I should point out.
I was not
as long
used
as you're positioning
to,
yourself as the one that knows about this.
I was not used to the button layout. I
wasn't used to the button layout.
The six buttons were all just in these neat rows rather than being, you know, contoured to the shape of the human hand.
Yeah.
Positioning of the fingers naturally.
Yeah, well,
so, you know, I had a real hard time
there.
I had a real hard time doing my footsies, because,
yeah.
You know, my index finger just wasn't positioned
right. You just couldn't reach
right.
With those stubby little fingers you have.
Well, it would be... Let's be real, though. What were they thinking when they put the buttons on the machine that way? Because you then have to do this, like, kind of claw motion to put your fingers over the right positions, or you have to be a weird human who's... Like,
his fingers are perfectly straight.
At least the index, middle, and ring finger have to all be the same length.
I mean, the claw is well known in fighting game circles. I don't know why you don't know about that.
It's just uncomfortable.
One of the core strats. So.
You know, you don't want to make this arbitrary barrier to play. Okay.
Well,
click random article.
That's your opinion.
We've had a 15-minute arbitrary barrier to us playing the podcast. As we oh good.
Barry Singer.
That is literally the name of this article.
B-E-R-R-Y.
Parentheses. Singer.
Singer.
Elise Poitier, right?
Poitier.
Okay, so sorry, I can't do the
you can't
the
do
French
the,
right.
You can't do French.
Can't do French right. Barry. That's the
Barry.
Name of the first article
Barry.
We're on. You can...
Oh my god.
I think tell...
Matt, there's no links on this page to anything else. Oh, there's one. There's one link.
Are you fucking kidding
and
me?
And it's to some guy I've never
I was
heard of.
Already so upset by this being our first page. But we have to click it. We have to
we
click it.
We gotta click on this guy.
Daniel Dark. Oh my god, thank
Daniel
good.
Daniel Dark with a C.
That page was...
He's got some good links, it looks like.
That page was abhorrent. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness gracious.
Oh my god.
French musicians who we know nothing about. From here, we're supposed to get to...
To Street Fighter.
To nope, Street
this
Fighter.
This is no problem.
You think so?
Nah. I'm feeling good. I feel confident.
You're feeling lucky?
Mm-hmm.
Do you listen to any French musicians?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever been in my room? Ever seen my signed poster of Yell?
Oh.
Yeah.
They've got some good videos, that
yeah.
Ben.
Yep.
That's all I know. And that you also have a signed poster by them.
They
That's
got some good videos, and they got some good tunes. They do a good cover of Who's That Girl by Robin.
Now, Robin, that's a musician I can get behind.
Also a good singer, yeah.
She's real good.
Yeah.
I wish we'd landed on the page for Robin.
Well, I mean, I usually wish that, but
I'd be doing that
can't.
Dance move that she does where
she punches
the air.
It's more than that's like it's like four dance moves. You dance, you punch in whatever direction you want
you
to.
Punch in any of the four cardinal directions.
Yeah.
Also up down.
Also up
it's
and
really,
down.
It's really you pick your X, Y, Z, but you kind of have to be. It's all at the 90
but
degrees.
But it's got to be aligned with the poles of the earth.
Exactly. Exactly.
North, east, west, all good. Up.
Yes. You know the story behind that, right? Robin's great-great-grandfather is the man who decided that it was more sensible for cities to be laid out on even grids. That's a true fact.
So she's doing a dance representation of...
Yes, yeah. It's all actually interpretive dance.
Yeah. Well, you know, she's
when she punches up, that's her saying, build up, not out.
Build up, not out. Sustainable. Density.
Yeah.
Yeah. What does it mean when she rolls on the ground?
That means...
build more public transit?
No, that means be prepared for earthquakes. Otherwise, this will happen to all roll. The buildings.
They're just going to
They're all just going to roll around. On the ground. They're going to fall to the ground and roll around, yeah. And it's going to be a bad scene.
Yeah, a pretty uncommon career combination there. Urban planner, singer.
I'm not saying Robin is the urban planner. This is just...
I think that she clearly has some ideas about urban planning.
Yeah,
seems but there... Seems like she maybe moonlights.
It's possible.
Yeah.
It may be true that the entire city of Paris, France...
was designed by Robin... See, if that's the case...
By some time travel shenanigans? I don't know. I'm trying to bring us back to this stupid page.
Then Robin is a fucking failure by the standards of her grandfather. Have you been there?
At what point did I start making these things up, Caitlin? For the sake of humor, because we're on this other... Almost... There are links on this page, but to people we don't know.
They're all French people.
None of them are Street Fighter characters, which would be really useful.
Fuck!
So...
Well, so there's a link to just singer. There's a link to French.
Well, it's a link to French
people.
There's
a link to John Coltrane.
Caitlin, I am just trying to salvage...
I'm gonna click on singer.
Okay. I'm trying to squeeze a... Which actually brought us to singing, step three.
That's all right.
Yeah. I'm trying to salvage a chuckle-worthy podcast out of this shit hand we've been dealt.
Yeah.
And if it means making up inaccurate things about Robin...
I never questioned your Robin facts.
Oh, did you believe them?
Well, no, I didn't believe them, but I wasn't going to call you out for them on the air. You called yourself out there.
I know, because I'm just feeling so bummed about this right now.
You feel bad about having made that stuff up?
No, I feel bad
about where we
this
are.
Bad deal Wiki's...
We're on singing now, okay?
Yeah,
What's
but...
the problem?
The problem is I'm trying to, like, scrape my brain for, like, there's gotta be a Street Fighter character whose thing is that they're a singer, right?
No, look, this is the... We can def... Ooh, look at that glottis.
Oh, no. That's really gross.
Look at the vocal folds.
The vocal...
Can I tell you a story about our mutual friend, Johnny?
Sure, tell...
So, like, you know what this looks like, right?
Yeah, well, I would say it looks like if you were to describe in detail verbally to someone what the female...
Yeah.
Reproductive organ looks like from the outside.
Yeah, that's
well,
exactly what it
female
looks like.
Genitalia.
It's a throat vagina, is what Matt's trying to say.
Yeah, I'm saying it looks like if you were to describe that to someone, but
if
they didn't actually know
if
what
you were,
it looked
like. Describing
like,
that to the police sketch artist.
Yeah,
and they're like doing their best to get it down.
They're doing their best,
but there's some mistakes.
Now I'm imagining a police sketch artist.
Some inaccuracies.
Now I'm just imagining the plight of a police sketch artist who's never seen
any form of genitalia.
Yeah, and who's just like now they're like sweating bullets over their sketch pad, being like, "I gotta get this right, otherwise this
People
case is
gonna
go
know.
Cold." It would explain why all police sketches look. Like, just hilarious compared to the actual person they look like.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a police sketch that...
That looked like the person?
Well, I think the thing... Well, I don't want to shit on police sketch artists.
I mean, they do their best, but, like,
right?
It's a dumb job.
They do their best based off of, you know, a verbal description, which is sometimes just, like...
Yeah, and how you
woefully
can't...
Off.
It's fucking impossible to describe in words what a specific person's
but
face
I've never,
looks like.
But I really want to see if a police sketch artist can actually draw someone that they...
That they're looking at?
That they're looking at. Because
no,
I've never seen
that.
A police sketch in anything, like on the news... In
no,
film, whatever, that looks like a real person.
No,
like, looks plausibly like a real person.
They're like translators. It's like a translator who can take a piece of German poetry and translate it into English, but not write their own poetry. It's like that. Well, sure, in a way. But when a translator translates poetry, mm-hmm.
they can, you know, it's a quality translation. It's
recognizably poetry.
If it's recognizably poetry.
Okay, so it's like
I'm saying a police sketch artist can't make a recognizable human.
It's like a German person whose first language is German translating things from German into English. So it just doesn't quite line up.
Sure. Okay. All right. Except its faces, which everybody should be able to.
Except its faces.
If they're paid artists, should be able to do faces pretty okay, I think.
Yeah, you'd think.
Paid face artists, specifically.
Yeah, but they work only in words.
Yeah. It's kind of fucked up. Sorry, sketch artists. Still on the page for singing, we should click on something to get me out of this funk that this unfortunate path has put me in.
Oh, well, I saw...
I mean, if you think about it, playing an instrument is a lot like playing a fighting game.
Playing a fighting game. I was just going to say that.
Yeah. Whenever
death
I pick
growl.
Up... Death Growl. Death Growl?
Yeah.
is its own article. Hey, you know what? Why not? Click right. it.
Here we go. Death Growl. George Corpse Grinder Fisher.
Is that a Street Fighter character? Oh, no, it's not. It's not. He's the lead singer of Cannibal Corpse.
Cookie Monster, also not a Street Fighter character.
They're known as Cookie Monster vocals?
Yeah, because that's what they sound like. Sometimes. There's different styles, you know?
You know those really, really awesome hardcore death metal songs that are like, C is for cookie.
Yeah.
That's my joke.
That's a good joke.
That was the joke. Also, I'm afraid to listen back to that as I master the podcast. You think so?
Does your throat hurt though?
Oh, my throat hurts, but I'm afraid that it's going to sound like this, more like C is for cookie, because I cannot stand listening to the sound of my own voice. And
yeah,
week
neither.
By week, doing the podcast is making that a little bit easier on me. But whenever I try to do, like, I cringe whenever I get to the point as I'm checking the podcast for audio quality, mm-hmm. where I get to a point where I voluntarily did a voice because I'm like, oh no, it's going to sound way worse.
Yeah.
I think I have a flawless Matthew McConaughey. Truth is, that's all in the head. And when you listen to it back, it sounds like me doing a really bad job.
Your McConaughey is entirely based on you saying one word.
It's not.
It is.
Just that.
It's largely that.
That's what I use to warm it up.
Yeah, and that's what
we all know.
That's what
word
you always
talking about.
Circle back around to.
Well, for comedy's sake, yeah.
Do you want to hear my Owen Wilson?
Yeah, I want to hear your Owen Wilson.
Wow.
That's
wow.
it?
Wow. Wow. Yeah, that's it.
That just sounds like the way you
that's
insert
how, like,
wow into conversation.
Wow. I don't say wow like that.
Whenever you use wow, it's always in this kind of like,
wow.
Yeah, it's always in this kind of tone where you're not actually saying it as a reaction. So I feel like now when you say wow,
you're just
doing your Owen Wilson wow.
Yeah, that's accurate.
There we go. And when I say the McConaughey word now, it always just comes out as McConaughey.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it,
though. You're not going
to
say it?
Part of me wants to just start talking in my McConaughey voice, but restricting myself from using that word to see how long I can carry it on.
How does it go? Yeah. I mean, you can do that if you want to.
All right.
I'm not going to stop you.
Three. Oh, shit. Did you see what I did there?
No.
I said quietly to myself,
you
all
said
right.
it quietly to yourself?
But I didn't do it in the McConaughey voice. It just came out, like, as I was prepping myself.
It is tricky, because it's a normal word.
It's a normal-ass word.
That one uses in conversation.
He's got a monopoly on it, there. No. Now, though.
He's got a copyright.
I think he might have used his HBO Connects
to get a monopoly.
That's why they don't.
Right?
That's why
if you listen closely, they never say.
That's
all
why
right
if you're
on
watching
HBO.
Along with True Detective Season 2, they don't actually say it anymore.
Yeah, you never hear Jon Snow saying that shit.
Also, I mean, I'm really taken aback with True Detective Season 2, how unnatural the dialogue feels, because they're not constantly talking about how time is a flat circle, which is just like, it's like restricting yourself from saying the, like, mm-hmm. it's kind of absurd. It's not good screenwriting. Yeah. Why aren't they talking about
really awkward
time is a flat circle?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just don't feel great about this right now. I don't feel great about this page, though. I will probably giggle about Cookie Monster vocals a couple times.
You've never heard that term before.
No. Well, I don't listen to that kind
of music. You've never heard those vocals?
I've heard those vocals, but I don't think, oh yeah, Sesame Street.
Oh, I've always thought that.
Okay.
I actually put that in this Wikipedia article. Planted that little seed for later on.
If only that was true. Actually, I'm kind of hoping the opposite, because if you planted that seed, that meant you intended to get here, which means you intended for us to pull something as crappy as Barry for our first article with one crappy link.
Yeah.
You basically sabotaged us.
Yeah, I mean, time is a flat circle, so, like, I've been here before.
I've had this conversation before.
Let's just go to death metal. Well, let's go to maybe heavy metal, a little more general.
All right.
Okay.
Still not something I have terribly much.
You have a favorite metal band?
No.
I do. Can you guess what it is? It's probably like a starter metal band.
Is it Megadeth?
No, but it's real warm.
Is it Slayer?
Still warm.
Anthrax.
Oh my god. You're name the last one in that category of metal bands.
Metallica.
Yeah, that's the one.
I do also like Slayer.
Though.
I was really hoping it wasn't going to be Metallica.
I told you it was a starter band. It's got just, metal right in the name.
It's just so boring.
I'm sorry. I told you it was a starter band.
I might start openly weeping as I tell this mm-hmm. short story.
Okay.
My cousin who passed away a few months ago, getting really real, but not really that real. This happened a long, long time ago. But he was recovering from a very serious injury
mm-hmm.
In hospital as a young kid.
Mm-hmm.
And while he was recovering, they like kept him in the hospital and so forth. But they were, I think he was at that point in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees this guy wearing a Metallica t-shirt.
Yeah.
And just looks at him and says, "Metallica sucks."
Oh!
And the guy apparently took some great offense at this.
Wait, how old? Did you say how old he was?
I think he was preteen. Okay, like 12 or something. Yeah.
Nice.
I'm not exactly sure. This is before I was born. So this story is passed down to me by my mother.
Uh-huh.
And he says Metallica sucks, and the guy apparently takes great offense. And then, you know, the adults in the room have to step in and be like, he's
12.
He's recovering from this very serious injury. Like, he's not, like, you don't take seriously what he's saying. He didn't mean to offend. And that's pretty much what I think of whenever I think of Metallica.
Now, are you sure, given that this story was relayed to you by your mom, are you sure that the band was Metallica and not, like, Bright Eyes? And she just remembered it being something a lot worse than what it was.
Given that Bright Eyes...
Yeah.
...didn't exist when this took place. I don't know why you pulled that out of your ass.
I was just trying to think of something, like, real...
You want to know the other thing that comes to mind when I think of Metallica?
What?
So, there was this program that came out a couple years ago. Kind of became a meme in its own right called Songsmith.
Uh-huh.
Came out from Microsoft. And it had this... Oh, my God. Did you see the advertisement they made for it?
I do remember the ad.
The advertisement... It's hilarious. I still remember how the tune goes. You sing into a microphone while the drummer plays along. And then when songs it takes the music, you're on your way to a song. It's something like that.
Yeah.
Also, I love that the girl in that ad is clearly using a MacBook that they put a big old flower sticker over. Because the ad agency was competent enough to take away the Mac logo.
But not competent enough
to just have a laptop that's not a MacBook.
Yeah.
Or maybe they just thought it wouldn't be realistic for, like, an 11-year-old girl to...
to not have a MacBook.
Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking. But it would, you would sing, and it would, like, basically...
Right,
like,
it would algorithmically, it crafts a song for you.
Yeah, it would algorithmically generate... like a MIDI backing.
Yeah.
And they try to say it would be this like cool tool for songwriters and so forth.
But it's garbage.
As though anybody starts a songwriting process by just
singing into a microphone.
Well, by just thinking of some words and then humming like a ditty and then be like, okay, I'll just sing it and then I'll come up with the chords later.
Well, some people
or like
do
to
that,
let the computer know? Come up with the chords.
I think that there are probably people that do that.
I don't think there are.
Maybe not successful songwriters, but I think there are plenty of, like, kids in their bedrooms.
Well, you know what it got used for, right? Is that people would strip the just the vocal tracks from songs and then import them into SongSmith.
Yeah, and see what would happen.
And my favorite ones were all the Metallica ones, where it was like, Metallica, but country.
Yeah, I remember those.
Metallica, too. But disco. I swear, I know some versions of Metallica better by their SongSmith counterpart than I do by the actual song. Because at least under SongSmith, they have some character.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Metallica burn.
Yeah. You're a real metal snob for somebody that doesn't like metal.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, you are.
I'll own up to it, I'm sorry.
I'm going to click on
There's once a... I was in the, like, 7th or 8th grade, and I borrowed a bunch of Black Sabbath CDs.
Nice, yeah, you have great taste.
From a kid, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm really into some deep cuts.
Yeah.
You know, have you ever heard of Sabbath? anyways, 8th grade, cut me some slack. I borrowed these CDs, but then I'm on a, you know, 6-hour car trip with my, I think it was just my mom and my brother.
Uh-huh.
And they had forgot to bring any CDs.
Uh-huh.
I hadn't brought any other CDs.
Oh, no.
I just happened to have...
The Sabbath?
I think I had 2 Black Sabbath CDs in my backpack. And we were so bored. And there's like no radio, no any of that out where we were. So we listen to one, we listen to the other, we pop in the first one again, then we pop in the second one again. And I think I tried to get us to listen to the first one a third time, but then even I was like, wait, no, let's not.
You want to know something worse than that happened to me? How long of a drive was this?
6 hours.
Okay, so I...
Now, in about like 2.5 hours of that is just straight Sabbath.
Okay, so yeah. I drove from Eugene to Bend, Oregon, which is... about 3 hours.
Okay.
With only a Fall Out Boy CD. Wait, it was better. It wasn't even Fall Out Boy. That was a different trip. It was a it was a Simple Plan CD.
Oof.
You know Simple Plan?
Well enough to know that I should give you a comforting pat on the shoulder right now.
I lived through that.
You can't hear it on the podcast, I hope. The contact between hand
and
shoulder.
Yeah, it was so bad that I blocked it out of my memory and replaced it with Fall Out Boy.
You know, say when we started this podcast that we would try to dig up some repressed memories of yours for entertainment value.
We did say that, didn't we?
Yeah. We should really navigate. Don't you dare click on heavy metal subgenres.
No, I have a plan. We go to heavy metal subgenres. There's a video game subgenre of heavy metal.
Oh, you're saying like nerdcore heavy metal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like Power Glove.
I respect that. All right. Heavy metal subgenres. All right. Its own page.
So this better be on here.
Otherwise, you're fired.
All right. You can do this podcast on your own.
Oh, God.
There's so many subgenres.
Porno grind.
Oh.
What does that even mean?
Porno grind. It lyrically deals with sexual themes.
That's it.
All right.
Like they talk about it. You know, here's something I don't understand. Is the... what? this says it deals with pornographic content.
Yeah.
In its lyrics, yeah, right?
It does.
And you and I both know, we live in the culture. We observe the culture.
In the porn age.
No, is not where that. We live. But just how, like, freewheeling people are with what their personal definition of pornographic content is.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean,
like, it is a... Of markers you can apply to something, it is one of the most subjective.
The definition is, you know it when you see it.
Right? Which is, then it's for everybody. It's different.
Yeah.
So what the fuck is the point of defining, like, just fucking call it sex grind, call it genital core, okay? Because pornographic content, I bet even to like a porno core, porno grind,
mm-hmm.
Like aficionado, is probably going to lose some of its salacious nature, or start to be, or they'll be like, actually, I wouldn't call this porno grind because it's not pornographic enough. This would be more just like, heavy petting grind. Like, I don't, like, that seems like such a shoddy thing to hang your subgenre on.
When I read the word porno grind, I was envisioning a mashup, like a metalized version of, like, the music that one hears in a porno.
See, I could accept it as... I don't even take issue with it being called, just the term porno grind. But if you want to, like, have that be a set definition of a genre...
Uh-huh.
And I know genres are malleable, so this is kind of like, you know... I'm just taking issue with this for the sake of taking issue with it.
Uh-huh.
But imagine this. It's metal music, and what sets apart from other heavy metal is that instead of lyrics, it's just got samples from pornography.
Yeah, that was going to be my second guess.
And then you can have a crossover where it's Cookie Monster vocals, but it's from...
Oh, no.
You hate this. You don't even want me to say it.
No. Everyone's thinking it. You don't have to say it.
Well, guess what's not on this page? What you thought would bring us closer.
I don't even know what it's called, now that I think about it. But I do see the band Dragon Force.
Dragon Force's like music was featured in a video.
I feel
game.
Like it would be a subgenre of power metal.
But I don't want to click on power metal.
I don't want to click on power metal either.
Click on Dragon Force.
Click on Dragon Force.
Yeah. All right.
So was Dragon Force like real big in like 7th grade?
I remember
to 5th grade for you.
Okay, they were big for a couple years.
I'm just
to be fair to Dragon Force.
If the trend happened at the same time, you know, up in Kirkland.
Look, I knew people in middle school, yeah, who were into Dragon Force.
Yeah, of course you did.
And they were excited one day because they had just come back from a Dragon Force show.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do they sound?
Mm-hmm.
And I recall at least one of them kind of looked down at the floor sheepishly and was like, well, actually, like...
Real bad.
None of the, like, really technically, like, complex bits sounded that good.
Yeah,
because it's
like
just
shit.
Like...
Blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah. Like, at a certain point, like, Dragon Force's whole thing, or, like, the power speed metal, I feel like the whole crux of that genre is that they will only ever get one perfect take,
yeah,
of the composition ever.
Well, yeah.
Ever.
I don't even think it's a rule that they have to, like, play the whole song all the way through. I think that they are probably fine just, like, cutting out the parts and,
well, I, you know, I'm
sticking them together.
I'm sure, because that's how most modern
music is done.
The lead singer of the band, The Long Winters.
Yeah.
John Roderick.
Yeah.
He once told a story, maybe on his podcast?
Uh-huh.
Maybe I'm just recycling podcast stories from other podcasts now?
Maybe it was while he was giving us a campaign speech.
Maybe. Also, I've never lived in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would, so, you know, maybe it's not fair for me to say. I've lived in the suburbs, so who am I to say? I think what Seattle really might want to avoid is just having the rock musicians be the politicians, because they're still milking the grunge thing rather hard for not really.
It feels a lot. I have to say, it feels a lot.
Now, Long Winter's not grunge, but
it feels a lot like a high school election where where people run on platforms like, I'm gonna get a soft serve machine in the cafeteria.
I'm the cool rock musician who's gonna know a lot about how to run a city.
Everybody who votes for me gets a free sample of Jack Daniels.
Represent my constituency well.
Yeah.
Anyway, he said he once went into the studio and the guy, he hadn't worked with the producer before, and the producer was like stopping him after every word, being like, let's do that word again. And I'm just like, that's nuts, right? Like, think about how much music you listen to that might be,
it's just all glued together one word at a time.
Well, that might be made that way, because how are you supposed to know? I was listening to Pitbull's new album, Dale. Today, well, it's actually Pitbull's predominantly English language albums, it might very well be pronounced Dale.
Mostly Spanish.
But it's one of his mostly Spanish albums.
When he releases the North American version,
then you call it Dale.
Yeah.
I was listening to that today, and what if when he says Dale, what if it's actually...
They record the dot and the lay separately.
Uh-huh. Just to get the most crispy reading of it.
I think it's possible that every time you said Dale, it's just the same recording.
What?
What about that? What if they just have, like, a word library? It's like a soundboard. And they just glue the words in. You can do that with rap music, you know.
Yeah.
You can just do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
What artist do you think is the most glued together?
The most glued
together? On the radio, yeah.
On the radio currently?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
I bet it's one you wouldn't expect. I bet it's Adam Levine or something.
That wouldn't surprise me at fucking all.
You know?
No. I can believe that.
Well, because he does a lot of like...
They got a whole library.
They have like a special thing that mixes
they
in
just
like
pull those from the Adam Levine pull this, soundboard.
Pull this out a little bit longer and put that little Adam Levine on it.
Yeah. Adam Levine actually died 5 years ago, and they've just been playing clips from the Levine soundboard. Mixing them up.
Because I was watching, is it The Voice that he's on? I think it's The Voice. Which singing show is he on? Because I thought they had just replaced him with another, like, conventionally handsome white guy.
Yeah.
But then I was just like, I wasn't sure if it was actually still Adam Levine
It's an animatronic, so it's right in that.
It's like a Showbiz Pizza or like right a Chuck E. Cheese.
Right in that uncanny valley. It's like, is it Adam Levine? Is it not? How can we tell?
I can't remember if Adam Levine's jaw was always just, like, fixed and only moved in one direction.
If the chin part of his jaw moved independently of the
rest of it. I'm pretty sure I saw Adam Levine perform at the Hall of Presidents at Disneyland.
Hologram.
Yeah, he's got a sick album coming out with Tupac soon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's click on video games,
yeah,
shall we?
Thank God. Jesus. Yeah, the video game connection with Dragon Force, obviously being Guitar Hero.
There was a whole list of other games that they provided music for.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. One of them was called Skate 2.
Oh, yeah. No, Skate 2 is a good game.
What the fuck is Skate 2?
Did you never play
I've never
skate
played
games?
Any non-Tony Hawk branded skate game.
If there's a non-Tony Hawk branded skate game worth playing, it would be
skate
one
2.
Of the skate
are
games.
Are you sure that those aren't one of those? That is one of those
so,
secret Tony Hawk joints?
No, it was not, because it was a direct competitor.
Like Street Fighter? That's what they want you to think.
No, here's what it was. It was actually, funny we talk about this, it was a skateboarding game that blended in fighting game-esque mechanics for executing moves.
Uh-huh.
So when you wanted to do a certain move, you would actually do a thumbstick move rather than just press a button.
Uh-huh.
So I still have drilled into my brain exactly how to do the laser flip on the thumbstick for Skate.
Yeah.
Because it was like a really like high scoring.
Seared into your brain.
Well, it was one of the most like
great move.
Easy to pull off, yet great like point value moves you could do. Also, it's just called the laser flip, which is super dope. So it wasn't just like, oh, hold. Like, there was some, like, button stuff, but it was really, like, you had to do the thumbstick motion a la Street Fighter or any fighting game.
Yeah.
And it was really dope.
None of this press A and...
They had, like, you know, I think their big celebrity skater was Rob Dyrdek. And in Skate 2, I think you could unlock Rob, but you could also unlock and play as Big. Christopher Big Black Boyken. This is a good time to talk about how much, as a teenager, I liked watching the show Robin Big, starring Rob Dyrdek and Christopher Big Black Boyken. And then they were featured in Skate 2. And Big was like, I don't think he was unlockable via conventional means. I think he might have been a cheat code character. But Skate 2 introduced this mode where you would just try and bail out as hard as possible. I think there was even just like a button combo that you would hit, and then you would immediately bail off your skateboard and just see how much damage you could do to your skater.
Yeah.
Now, Big is a big guy. And
as we might have guessed.
As such, his player model in game was correspondingly big.
Uh-huh.
And the game did not handle that very well with its physics system. So what I spent countless hours doing, and you can find videos of this on YouTube, was going to the hydroelectric dam in Skate 2.
Of course, as Big. A dam level naturally, as every
well, good it's a, skating it was game also has. It was also an open world game.
Oh,
so
okay.
it wasn't like a
level; you could just skate there.
It was a fully sized
skating
dam.
Up to the dam.
It wasn't so much like, oh, the dam is like you could, once you got into like the channel or whatever, you could like go down like the canals and so forth, and that was like, you know, kind of like hill bombing, but it wasn't like, oh, just like a skate park version of a dam. But the dam itself you could go off of for this, you know, this bailing mechanic. So just be like, look, I threw him off of a dam. But sometimes when you did it just right, if you bailed Big off of the dam and then curled into a ball, he would fall, and then when he hit the ground he would bounce super fast up into the sky.
Nice.
And if you were lucky, you could string together several of these big bounces.
This capital B Big.
Yes, capital B Big bounces. I think the YouTube video that best illustrates this is just called Big Bouncy. And I think probably half the time I spent playing that game was spent just bombing him off of his dam and watching him go, but you could also like puppet the character. So between your bounces, you know, when you hit the ground, you want
to make him do a little dance.
Well, when you hit the ground, you want him like real balled up, like fetal position.
Right.
But then in the air, you're like Supermaning out, and you could do hand motions. You could like add character to your skater. So you like do a kickflip and you like peace sign,
like point,
or like
at the camera.
point guns, but you could do that also while you'd bailed. I want to play this game right now.
So this sounds like it's not a good game, and you found a really fun thing to do in it.
Oh no, the game was really solid. It just so happens that the bug was 10 times more amusing than they could have ever made a game purposely to be. We're on the page for video games.
So this is infuriating. The genre section is like doesn't list any genres in it. It goes to a separate article. So we can do that. We could go to arcade games.
Let's do arcade games.
See what happens.
I always have a really hard time trying to redemption game.
Do you know what that means?
Oh, that's
a redemption game.
I think that would mean like you get tickets and you redeem them.
Oh, right.
Anyway. I always have a really hard time putting myself in the shoes of someone who was into games in the 80s and had to survive the, like, arcade and home console crash. Because that seems like now it would never happen. It would never happen that way now. You would never have a period where video games just stopped being popular for a number of years. But that's basically what happened, is arcades shuttered and the Atari, like, flopped and there was no, equivalent home console. And the PC was the only way to game.
I can't imagine having to pay quarters every time you wanted to play a video game.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a good system.
Well, it's a great system to make money.
Well, yeah, but for me, the gamer...
Yeah, you would much rather just pay $60 in quarters.
Yeah, and then $400 in quarters for the system.
Yeah, that's way more reasonable.
I prefer to pay it all up front.
Yeah, okay. That makes way more sense. How do you feel about microtransaction games that are essentially the same thing?
Microtransaction games? I don't play those. Please.
I see it.
Well, you see Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, which we can use...
Street Fighter 2.
Yeah. So not quite there.
Yeah.
That says Street Fighter video game. Is that the series?
Oh, this is what we want. Street
Fighter. Yes, there we go. Click it.
Okay.
There we go. Nice.
Imagine if we had clicked on Street Fighter 1. It would have had a whole extra step.
Embarrassing. So let's see. We had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 steps. And we got to that. We got to Street Fighter.
Yeah.
So who do you main in Street Fighter? Well, you can be nuanced. You can tell me different answers for different editions of the game. Because, I mean, I don't play the same character in every Street Fighter game.
I main Guile.
Do you actually?
Because I like how sneaky he is. How sneaky and slippery and likes to slink around in the shadows.
How sneaky he is?
It wasn't a good joke.
It's just because his name is Guile. That was terrible.
Guile. Did I ever tell
I was going to ask you, did you have him confused with Sam Fisher of the Splinter Cells?
Splinter Cell series. Or Snake? Perhaps Snake, no.
Games where you actually sneak around, not games where you're on a 2D plane fighting out in the open?
No, did I ever tell you that I used to know this person who was a Cammy cosplayer?
Yeah, you did.
Did I show you that, like, how if you search Cammy cosplayer, she's one of the top results?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say, and I don't want to be reductive or lewd in saying this, but would you say a kind of threshold to doing a renowned Cammy cosplay?
Is having a big butt?
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course. Come on.
Well, I would not like say if I was at Diego Comic-Con or Sakura-Con, I would not judge a Cammy cosplayer based on their figure, but they're not going to be...
Look, Matt, this is not you being reductive. Yeah. This is the video game industry being reductive.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't feel bad about that.
Okay. All right. I just don't want to hurt anybody.
Who do I main in Street Fighter? I've probably played more as, like, some dumb shit, like maybe Dhalsim, one of the more gimmicky characters.
I mean, they're very well-designed games.
So specifically not characters like Ken or Ryu or Chun-Li that are kind of just like your, in terms of their appearance, you're more like vanilla fighting game characters.
You wanted to be
like a dumb story.
Like the guy who practices yoga and that allows him to shoot fire and stretch his limbs
all the way across his screen.
Michael Jordan style a la Space Jam.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can see it right there. I actually have a Marvel versus Capcom themed fight stick, because that's the game I tried to get good at.
Yeah.
But I also picked up Street Fighter, and I was fairly boring. I kind of, I got my basic fireball character legs. That would just be a quarter circle forward input character.
Right.
Who uses projectiles for spacing and strategic purposes.
Yeah.
So I just, I started on a Ryu or a Ken, and then I was just like, why don't I just do Akuma? Because he has the same moves, but he's
bigger,
faster.
Bigger and badder and purple.
Well, he's the same size. He is badder.
He's bulkier.
Well, he doesn't have as much health. You trade power for health in his case. At least in Street Fighter 4.
He's burlier.
You know what burly character I did play as? The Incredible Hulk. The Incredible Hulk was always on my Marvel vs. Capcom. Because he had... This tells you how committed I was to learning these games. Mm. I played the Hulk because he had, hands down, the easiest combos that did the most damage for, like, a beginner. Like, there are other characters that are, like, pretty easy to pick up, like Sentinel, who's literally a giant robot who takes up half the screen. Mm-hmm. And with some practice, you could get Sentinel combos down really well. And it was, like... He, for a while there, any pro player was, like, very likely to have Sentinel on his team.
Uh-huh.
But just for the scrubs like me, who would only play at that point with, like, people I could convince to come hang out with me in my dorm room and play Marvel, Hulk was the go-to because you could just be so sloppy with his inputs, and you were still just, like... And Hulk was especially demoralizing, too, because Hulk would pick up characters. He would literally just, like, with his fist, just in a downward arc. And then, oh, suddenly your character is bouncing on the ground.
Typical casual attitude you have here towards this game.
Yeah, I mean,
that's... You clearly don't have a nuanced understanding of it.
Oh, yeah, I mean... there's no reason to pick a character based on the fact that he is a green murder machine who will strike fear into your opponents, because you should have worthy enough opponents to know the ins and outs of the game and use whatever characters are best, that they're best suited with and that they have a strategy for. But I didn't have those opponents, and so I used the Hulk because the Hulk was an easy win button.
Yeah, I had a...
And now my fight stick is for sale. If you would like a gently used fight stick that's compatible with Xbox 360 and PC, $75. And Twitter,
Matthew Olson. Yeah. Because I was going to say, I would not like that, but thank you for offering.
I'll give you a special friend deal.
Oh, thanks. I had a friend that... the same friend that played the card game... UFS, which stands for Ultimate Fighting System, tried to get me into Marvel vs. Capcom.
Which one? 3?
The one for Xbox 360.
Did it look real nice?
Yeah.
Okay, shiny. That was 3.
And he had your exact fight stick.
Yeah, it was a pretty common one.
I guess being a, 16-year-old nerd, he just went about this in the mean boyest way. Where he was just like, yeah, I'm like, you're my friend. I really want to get you into this video game. I'm going to fucking crush you every time.
Yeah, no, at least I was...
fun, have another Mountain Dew.
Yeah, at least I was not quite the same. I would get real salty when I lost, which happened when I was a Street Fighter. But I never pretended that hard when, like, my roommate would come play that... I wasn't just better and also at an advantage because I was using a better input scheme than just the controller, which I feel like it's harder to, like, start getting the basics down on just a controller.
See, that was the whole thing, was that he refused to pretend that he was not better.
He was just a jerk.
Like, I'm going to just beat you with this game every time. Aren't you having fun? Come over more often.
So the moral of this episode is that video games sometimes aren't fun.
Friendships.
Oh, is that it?
Except for anything Tony Hawk branded. Those are for creating friendships.
The moral of this episode is go search Big Bouncy and watch it. I want to see if Skate 2 is over my stack of 360 games over there, because now I have this strong desire to just go bounce people.
I'm going to share that desire with you.
Off of a dam. Hey, you can find me on Twitter. It's at Matthew Olson. I'm not going to spell it this week.
I was going to say that because I know what it is now, but it's okay. You already said it.
Yeah, well, after the failure
week. We'll try that another time.
And you can find Caitlin at Beskavest.
All right, you can just do that. I do remember my own Twitter handle.
You can find our podcast page on Facebook.
You can also find
I didn't even get to say it yet.
I'm just so excited about showing...
Off that you know that any
know
of these
all
things.
Of the info.
Okay, tell them what the Facebook page is first.
Well, the hashtag is CYGTT, which is what I was going to say. You can finish now.
No, because you just keep cutting in, and now I'm going to let you take it from here.
No, I'm going to let you finish.
Facebook.com/CYGTT.
Yeah.
Much like the hashtag, much which like is what hashtag. Caitlin wanted really badly to point out.
Yeah.
Also... I'm can you get to that .simplecast.fm?
I'm more of a Twitter person than a Facebook person, so. You
know. Also, find us on iTunes.
Give us a nice rating.
Yeah.
I'd appreciate that.
Subscribe. Give us suggestions for topics.
That'd be super. Send them on Twitter. #CYGTT.
Give us feedback about how much we fall apart at the end of every episode as we try to list off this.
If you want. That's optional.
Information.
This has been Can You Get to That? Have a great week out there.
Yeah, do it. What Caitlin said.
Yeah.